This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. I don't know. A whole bunch of texts from the discussion at the beginning of the hour about the move here for the city of Mobile to capture and relocate the squirrels from Bienville Square. I don't think that conversation's over, so we'll have a continuation, I'm sure, in days to come this week. Also, on the news update there about what's moving in Washington, or they're attempting to move bills in Washington to deal with the questions about the monopoly on meatpacking and what it's meant for poultry prices, but also for beef prices. We'll address that again. We've done many times. Aaron Beasley with Alabama Cattlemen's Association back on with me this week on Thursday, and we'll continue to talk about what's going on the supply side here in Alabama, why the prices are so high, but the producers aren't making that money. We'll get in that discussion coming up on Thursday. Actually, my next guest probably has some commentary on that coming from deep roots in agriculture as well. Katie Boyd Britt, running for U.S. Senate, joins us now. Thanks for your time.
Sean, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it and hope that you and your listeners had very Merry Christmases and Happy New Year.
Yeah, it's been good, hopefully, for y'all as well. I mean, what do you do? Do you shut down campaigning? How do you do that? I mean, just frankly, like, what day do you say, okay, we're not going to do this, we're going to do Christmas for a couple of days? When do you do that?
Yeah, so like on the 23rd, you know, you're getting everything kind of pulled down. And obviously 24th, you know, you want everyone to be with their families and celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so doing that the 24th and 25th. And then unfortunately, the way that the cycle works is obviously the end of, you know, kind of the quarter is December 31st. So there's a couple of things that you have to do to kind of get that wound down. And so there's a little bit of that, but we did our very best between that, the 24th and the 1st, to just be with family and just to be with we did a lot of time just our family of four, you know, Wesley and I and the children. And it was so nice because, you know, as you know, with children this age, you have a lot of basketball practice and volleyball practice, and then a parent has a meeting, or you're going here, you're going there, you're taking a phone call. And we did our very best to just unplug and get to spend time as a family of four. So it was incredible. So thank you for asking. And now we are back at it and ready to go and excited about this final stretch. I mean, honestly, Sean, it was a bit like halftime. We had 6 months of the campaign, and then, you know, that week between Christmas and New Year's, a little bit like halftime, and now we've got the final stretch.
Yeah, and I want to get into that and talk about the campaign schedule. Let me jump back what I was saying as we got started, too. So a subject that I've talked a bunch about on the show as, you know, a cattle producer and looking at the prices there, you know, people would often say, oh, y'all are making a killing, you know, last year, 2 years. And we said, no, the beef prices are not relegated to what, you know, Alabama farmers are making, really ranchers anywhere in the country are making on that. What do you, I mean, do you see a place in Washington, if you're elected, to try to work on that, to try to, I don't know if it's breaking up, you know, monopolies on this, on the meatpacking side, I mean, anything that could help farmers here in Alabama on that?
Absolutely. So as you know all too well, you know, we've looked a lot into this, and we have been to all 67 counties. And I will say this, in the vast majority of those counties, this conversation has come up. And it's exactly what you're saying. You know, people are saying, hey, we're seeing the prices on the shelves, and our producers are not seeing the profit from that, which lets you know that the middlemen are really sucking that up. And so you have the four, you know, meat packer, you know, across the country, and two of those, Sean, are foreign owned. Mm-hmm. And so I believe there needs to be an investigation into what is happening and make sure that there is not price fixing and make sure that there is not foul play. And I'm going to push hard for that when I get to the U.S. Senate, because it is important that this still be a, you know, that our producers can see some profit from the hard work they put in and not be kind of taken to the cleaners by some foreign owned entity.
Yeah, because I want to talk about small business and medium-sized business in our state, and you know, you've done a lot of discussion on that, but you also talk about there's a big component of what we do here in Alabama is agriculture or forestry. And just making sure that we can stand, I'm not asking for advantage, I mean, maybe I am, but that we can stand on an even playing field in Washington versus other states and versus international concerns.
That's exactly right. And what we need to make sure is just that, because I will put our producers up against anybody, anywhere. But what we have consistently is we have markets that aren't actually fair to compete in. So we have to make sure that we don't have other countries that are undercutting what our hardworking Americans and Alabamians are doing. And unfortunately, we see that time and time again. And when you talk about small business, I think a lot of people don't think about the fact that our farmers, that our cattlemen, those are small business owners. Those men and women work every single day in not only, you know, out in the field and out, you know, out there working and doing what they do best so that we can be fed and clothed, but they also are running a business. And so the implications, whether it comes to federal overreach, so let's talk a little bit about EPA overreach and continual push there to burden our farmers and our ranchers, our cattlemen, with regulation that is unneeded. You have the federal government working to get in the middle of their business in a way that they don't need to. And so you see that with EPA overreach. You see that with awful WOTUS, through the Obama years, and now Biden is trying to bring back with a vengeance, trying to tell our men and women how best to tend to their land, when you and I both know that our agriculture community depends on the fruitfulness of that land to continue to do what they do best. I mean, it is a cycle there that they've protected upon generation, and they don't need someone from the Obama administration or from the Biden administration, which these days seem to be the same thing, telling them how to do that. You look at that, you look at taxes, you look at the tax implications that occur, particularly with our agriculture community, I would say significantly the death tax. You know, you mm-hmm. work hard to be able to pass on, what you've worked hard for, what you've built to your family, and the government now wants to have yet another taking. While they tax you your entire lifetime, when you die, they want to tax you again so that it makes it where your family can't afford to carry on that legacy. And so what that does is that gives foreign entities an opportunity and the big guys an opportunity to come in and buy everyone out. I mean, if you look at the record number of, you know, the farmland that's being bought up by China, It makes your head spin. It makes your head spin. And I guarantee you this, China is not allowing America to come buy up their farmland. That's a fact.
Well said. And thank you for being able to speak on this, because and we'll have to do it again on another show, because it's a subject not many people that are running for office or in Washington can talk at that level. So I appreciate that. Speaking of the federal overreach there, where do we stand on the mandates here? I mean, we had one circuit say no, then it's back on. If you were elected, what would you be doing right now? What could you do as a senator to fight against the federal mandate on vaccines?
Well, first off, we must fight against them. I think because the left has worked to conflate they say if you're anti-mandate, then you're anti-vaccine. And it's just simply not true. I think what we need to do is encourage people. We need personal responsibility. People need to talk with their doctor, and they need to make the choice that is best for them. Never should any hardworking American, hardworking Alabamian, be put in the position, Sean, to have to decide whether they get a shot in their arm or they earn a hard and honest day's work to provide for their family. And unfortunately, that is exactly where Joe Biden has put us. It is fundamentally un-American, and it's something that we have to stand up against each and every day. Because rest assured, if they take your freedom, they will never, ever give it back. And I also think this has disproportionately been targeted at law-abiding, hardworking Americans. And I say that because if you are coming over the border, which we know is unfortunately happening at record rates, and that is happening as a direct result of weakness shown by the Biden administration, by him within his first 100 days rolling back so many of Trump's policies, that we're working to fundamentally fix that issue. You know, we need to get back to building the wall. We need to make sure we put the heat on the Biden administration. The court has now said, after Governor Abbott has said, you know, hey, sued them to say we've got to put back in Remain in Mexico. They drugged their feet. The court's now said they have to do it. We need to hold Biden's feet to the fire to put Remain in Mexico back in. You know, Trump's public charge, not allowing these immigrants that come illegally across our border to immediately go into the welfare system. I mean, we've got to get the border under control. But if you look at these mandates, you've got people coming across those borders. Now, outside the country and you're an American citizen, you have to have a negative COVID test to get back in the country. And then they very proudly put out, if you don't, then the cost is on you. Okay, well, these are American citizens. We have illegal immigrants that they are saying, come over, no test needed, and guess what? Come on to our welfare system. Now, you explain to me how that makes sense. Additionally, you go ahead and look at, like, what they're doing with people on welfare. So if you really cared about changing, if Biden, I want to get everyone vaccinated, and he, quote-unquote, believes that that will change the dynamic of COVID, if that were true, then in order for you to get your welfare check and cash it, because there's clearly a federal nexus there, he would say you have to have the vaccine. He's not doing that. He's only saying if you are a law-abiding, hardworking American, you have to have the vaccine. And the extent in which we saw over the last several weeks with members of our servicemen and women, Sean, that were said, hey, guess what? You're getting fired because you won't get a shot in your arm, and you want to protect our country. It is appalling. It's absurd. It's disgusting. It's fundamentally un-American. And it is Joe Biden needs to be held accountable. As a senator, I would not let up. And I think that it is totally unlawful. It is totally unconstitutional. And I would be using every single means at my disposal to expose that, to get rid of it, and to ensure it never happened again.
Talking to Senate candidate Katie Britt, I want to talk about this. If you were senator as well, when it comes to spending, you're talking about federal spending. How do you navigate this? Because what the deal will be built where there's money for military, or there's money for projects that are popular with Republicans, that's built and attached at the hip with, you know, spending on the Democrat wish list. And it seems like it's never a conversation of less. In other words, I never hear the Republicans saying, well, I'll tell you what, we're not going to be able to spend that on these defense projects or these other projects because we can't afford the spending the Democrats want. Would you push for something like that instead of just saying, hey, I want all the Republican spending but no Democrat spending, and then you end up making a deal for both? Would you ever take less on the conservative side to keep the Democrat spending from expanding?
You know, Sean, in order to get this under control, we're going to have to make tough choices. And I think where that starts, you got a couple of things. Number one, you start actually balancing the budget. I mean, every single American household has to live within their means. That's what we have to do. And unfortunately, we've had lawmakers that have totally created a federal spending problem that is so far out of control, it will take us decades to get back in order, but that has to start now. I think we have to balance our budget. So I would obviously go ahead and you know, introduce legislation for a balanced budget amendment. I also think we need to introduce into the conversation, Sean, that members of Congress should not get paid if they do not balance their budget. I mean, their job, that is one of the key, you know, cornerstones of their job. And they have failed at it year after year after year after year. Additionally, I think we have to go in and, like I mentioned just a second ago, make some tough choices. We cannot be all things to all people. We have to figure out what are the core principles and what are the core things that our federal government is responsible for. Let's do those and do those well. I do believe that national defense is chief among those. There are a lot of things that are tied to national defense. You know, I think infrastructure is important, you know, roads and bridges, and making sure that, you know, that those fundamentally being able to move people and products, I mean, that is part of it. But we've got to cut wasteful spending. If you look just at the facts alone, I believe the last time that they went through the actual process that was set forth by the Congressional Budget Act of 1974 was like 1996, John. And yet we have no one holding these members of Congress accountable. So whether that's introducing legislation that puts some teeth into that, that says, no, 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 you've got to follow the policy laid out before you, you know, or you know, whether that's having other tough conversations, we've got to have people that will make this a centerpiece of dialogue every single day. And so that is going to be my goal, because if we do not get this spending out of, I mean, under control, it is out of control. It's saying by the year, Sean, I think it's like 2041, every single bit of our federal spending will be eaten up by entitlements alone.
Right.
Every single bit of it.
Yeah.
And so that shows you we've got to have tough conversations. We're going to have cuts. You know, we're going to have to get back to doing what we do best. And I'll give you an example of that. I think the Department of Education, I think federal bureaucracy is way too bloated. We need to cut it out. I mean, we send money up there for it to go through the hands of federal bureaucracy, for it to come back down to the state and local government or the private sector. Cut out the middleman, which is the federal government, and let people do what they do best. Also, things like the Department of Education. Sean, we don't. Why do we need that? You have bureaucrats that are making, on average, over $100,000 in the Department of Education, and yet we have teachers who are doing the most important job that you have, which is that of educating our children and giving them an opportunity for success. And yet they're making half of that. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. We need to get out of our business. Let state and local government do what they do best. Let the dollars follow so parents can have a choice. I think there's a lot of tough conversations that have to be had, Sean, and what I'm saying to you is I am willing, not only willing, but I will be right in the middle of them.
Right. As we, I know, obviously, this is more a Southwest Alabama discussion, but as, you know, as a question for the entire state as well, when it comes to funding, at least from the state side, I-10 Mobile River Bridge Project. This is a big one. I know you've addressed this as well. Tell folks what your take is on this new proposal on the bridge.
So, Sean, you know, kind of going back to government doing what it needs to do, I mean, roads and bridges are among those. And this is obviously a federal road, and it's something where the federal government needs to repair, I mean, needs to be a part and pay their fair share of. I mean, I believe you cannot get from Texas to Disney World, which a lot of people do every single day, without coming right across that bridge. I mean, we need to make sure that there is a solution where you work with local, state, and federal leadership to create a solution that works. And I always say this, that local leaders know best. And so that is what I have been so encouraged about just in the current dialogue, is that it is led by local Baldwin County and Mobile County leaders and citizens. And that, to me, is where you create the best solution. I was encouraged that there remain free routes. I believe, you know, I am not a fan of tolls, and as your next U.S. Senator, I am going to work day in and day out to get more federal funding so that we can ultimately eliminate whatever is put out there, because I want people from Baldwin County and people from Mobile County to be able to travel back and forth to and from work with no charge. So I am encouraged that there's a solution that has come from local leaders, and I think that that's the way things need to be done. It doesn't need to be done some bureaucrat in D.C. who's never set foot in the state of Alabama, doesn't understand the needs, doesn't understand that, you know, we had the fastest growing container port in the nation here in Mobile, that we have an opportunity to continue expand that reach, not only in that region down there on the coast, but it will benefit the entire state. And we need to be able to get people and products safely and move them out, that we have, you know, four class or class five, class one rails that come right down there where you are. We have just incredibly unique opportunity down there. And I don't need somebody in D.C. telling us how to create a solution. I want local leaders, because I believe they know best. And so I am encouraged that that's exactly what's happening and that those conversations are ongoing.
Right. More information on the campaign, which is, like you said, you're in the second half now, the back nine running through to the primary. People want to get more information about you. How do they do that?
Yes. And, Sean, thank you so much. And thank you for the opportunity to just be on here and have the opportunity to be in front of your listeners. So we have visited all 67 counties. We are so excited about that. I will tell you, I have a firm belief that everyone in this state matters and that no one zip code should determine their opportunity. And it has been incredible to sit down with people in every area and not only see the beauty of our state, because, my gosh, it is incredibly beautiful, but also learn from the people, learn about their opportunities, learn about their struggles, learn about their innovation, and figure out how I can best represent them as their next U.S. Senator. So we continue to just get it out. If they can take a look at our social media, which is Katie Britt for AL on Twitter and Facebook, and or Katie Britt for Alabama on all of those social media, and then obviously KatieBrittForSenate.com is our website. We need you. We are a grassroots campaign, and we're going to continue to be that, continue to work harder than anyone, because we believe the people of Alabama are worth it, and they need someone that will fight for our Christian conservative values and make sure that Alabamians and the issues that we're facing, that we've got a seat at the table.
Katie Britt, thanks for your time. We will speak again soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. And Happy New Year to everybody, and thank you again for being on.
All right. Happy New Year to you. Tell Wesley I said Roll Tide, okay?
You got it. All Roll right. Tide. You got it.